This sermon series since Easter has been called Seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. And we're back at it again today. We took a little break last week with talking about what we learned in VBS. And this week we are talking about Moses and looking at Moses' entire life, really, and how that points to Jesus. And as we see these passages in the Old Testament, we're seeing with the lenses of our Christian faith. We're seeing it clearly as the early church would have seen it. We started this sermon series, as you remember, with the walk to Emmaus, where the friends are on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus appears with them after he's been crucified and he's risen, but they don't know it yet. And he opens up the Old Testament scriptures to them, and he shows them where he is in the Old Testament. And what he's doing is a way of Bible study that we call typology. It's typology. And when we think about what that is, it makes so much sense. The word typology means to make an imprint. Like when you're typing and it's there, now it's imprinted. So it's this imprint back in the past that foreshadows an event in the future. It's a person. It could be an event. Could be a symbol in the past or in the scriptures that makes an imprint. It's a type. So you have a type and then an antitype. You have what it points to. So many things that it points to. When you were younger, I am sure someone made an impression on you. That's what we call it, right? Somebody made an impression. It was the way they walked or the way they spoke. And you know, those of us with children, we want to make sure those impressions are good because they're not always good. You know, some language starts happening or whatever. That wasn't a very good impression. So we want our impressions to be really good. We want to make good impressions. We want to have good impressions made on us. And we don't forget them. We carry them with us, don't we? Even if we don't remember the details, the impression has been made on us, and we carry that impression farther. I remember things that people said to me, things that my grandfather said to me, made a huge impression on me later. The way that he would react, the way that he would say different things. There were people at my church growing up that would get down on my level as a kid and see me for who I am. It didn't matter that I was somebody's grandson or somebody's son. I was me to them. They left an impression on me. One of those impressions that we have the opportunity to do in church is through Godly Play, which is this curriculum where we share with our children. And there are these stories that get told, and language is said. There are things that are said to make an impression. One of those impressions is the Moses story. And the leader of the Godly Play class takes a figure supposed to represent Moses, and I picked this out of the people of God. I believe this is Moses, because he's got his arms stretched out. He was one of many of the people of God, but I took out Moses. And when the story is told about Moses, the Godly Play teacher says something to the children that makes an impression, made an impression on me. This is Moses. Moses came so close to God, and God came so close to Moses that Moses knew what it was that God wanted him to do. That's it. And that happens over and over again when we talk about Abraham and Moses and David. God came so close to Moses, and Moses came so close to God that Moses knew what it was God wanted him to do. When we look at Moses' life, his whole life story, I was amazed this week when I went through it, and I was going scripture by scripture and moving through Exodus and finding all of these images that were part of Jesus' life too. I made a list. This is, and I found this image online. This is this image of Moses and Jesus, And you can see even from just a glimpse these really glaring similarities, things that Jesus would see in the Moses story about himself. I was always confused with the snake. You know, Moses lifted the snake on the pole. Like, what's that all about? The snake on the pole. And then Jesus said, that's the sign. I too will be lifted up like Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. Now, you might remember this story where the people are being bitten by the snake and they're getting the poison and they have to look. And if they look at the snake on the pole being lifted up, then they're healed. And I always thought, snakes, why is that a symbol of good? A snake represents evil, right? From back at the very beginning of the gospel, of the scriptures, right? The snake is the evil one, right? Exactly. Well, it's been lifted on a pole. And so we see this imprint, right? And so then we look at Jesus on the cross. He's taking the sin upon himself in that moment, like the snake on the pole, the evil on himself. See, these images are so visceral to us, and we can make these connections. But when we're looking at Moses' life, I just wanted to lift up a few. And you know these, you remember these, but maybe it's kind of good to see them together. And just like the Joseph story, it's you could say this about one, and you know it in Jesus' story, like this. As a baby, an evil king was trying to kill him. Moses or Jesus? Right. He was hidden from this evil king. He was sent into Egypt to preserve his life. He was saved by women. He was adopted. He became a prince. Moses being the prince of Egypt and Jesus the prince of peace. There was a long period of silence in Moses' life before, from childhood to adulthood, and the same with Jesus. He became a shepherd, and we call Jesus the Good Shepherd. He was often rejected by his own people. Moses will receive and give God's law on the mountain of Sinai. Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Moses spent 40 days fasting, so does Jesus. Moses performed signs and miracles, so does Jesus. Moses is the prophet of the old covenant. And Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king of the new and everlasting covenant. When I was reading about Moses, there was a scripture that stood out to me describing Moses and who he was, and it's in Numbers, and maybe you've seen this before, this description of Moses. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And what you might be thinking is, well, you know, didn't Moses write Numbers? Did Moses write the first five books? Was he writing about himself? I think this is an after edition. You know, and what it means, and how was Moses so humble? Maybe you know the Moses story and you're thinking, how is Moses so humble? Well, what's meant by this is he was in Pharaoh's court. He had everything that money could buy, and he rejected all of that to become one of the people. In Hebrews 11:24, it says, by faith Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic, soft life of sin with the oppressors. And then if you turn to Philippians chapter 2, there's a hymn about Jesus. And it's all about how he didn't consider equality with God something to hold over the people, but he lowered himself, becoming a servant, even to death on a cross. He lowered himself. It's beautiful that Moses could say as a leader what I'm pointing to is someone greater than myself who will lead the people. He says this in Deuteronomy, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites, you must listen to him, a prophet like me. We know there's this beautiful passage in Matthew's gospel. Matthew, by the way, more than any other gospel, is setting up these comparisons between Jesus and Moses. And, you know, you have the Sermon on the Mount, you have all the different birth narratives that are similar in Matthew. But then there's this glimpse that Peter, James, and John get in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain, Mount Tabor, the mountain of transfiguration. And it is very similar to the Moses story. Instead of his face glowing like Moses did when he received the law from God, when he was in God's presence, Jesus begins to be the one that's glowing, and his clothes are glowing white as snow. And they see that he's there talking with Moses and with Elijah. He's representing the law and the prophets. And then, of course, Peter, very impulsive, he wants to build some tents, you know, some structures. And Jesus said, it says this in Matthew 17, while he was still speaking, this is Peter speaking about the tents, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. And then it says that after he said this, they looked up. They were trembling, and they looked up, and it was only Jesus there. And I think about what this means for us and how all of these things point to Jesus. We're going to continue. Next week, Pastor Jermaine is going to be bringing the message about the manna, the bread of life. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And we'll learn more about that next week. But what I keep thinking about when I'm thinking about the imprint is that through the Holy Spirit, this imprintation has been made on all of us in a deep and real way, so that the new covenant is written on our hearts. It's not that we'll say, "Well, you know the Lord, how are you going to do that?" Well, it's written on our hearts. It is kind of like saying that God came so close to us in Christ Jesus that we could come so close to him that in that spirit and in that truth, we would know what it is that God would have us to do. And that is to love God with our hearts, with our minds, with our strengths, with our muchness, and that we would love our neighbors as ourselves.